Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about how to fulfill God's will. Man, that is so important. It's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to even start in that direction. But how do you reach the finish line? How do you fulfill God's will? And in this series, I'm going to be sharing some things that are really profound, things that God has really burned into my heart, and they make a difference. These are real simple, practical things that I use all of the time. I've mentioned this constantly, but I just have to emphasize again that this is just a portion of my teaching on God's will. I've got a teaching set, a five-part set on how to find God's will, another one on how to follow God's will, and this is my third five-part set on how to fulfill God's will. And all three of these together are just powerful. I guarantee you that this would change the course and the direction of your life. If you don't feel like your life is just blessed by God, and if you aren't thankful every single day for the way that it's going, then I doubt that you found God's will for your life. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. But when you find God's will and begin to follow it and fulfill it, it becomes fulfilling. It becomes satisfying. It's supernatural. There's no words to express it. And if that's not how you feel about your relationship with God, then you need to go deeper into this area. And that's what all of this is designed to do. So I encourage you to please take advantage of this entire series that we've done. I've been talking about this week about how that you have to learn to obey if you are going to fulfill God's will. And boy, obedience is not a good thing to a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are just rebellious and they don't want anybody telling them what to do. Then there's other people that have been under a religious system that just beat them to a pulp with all of their rules and regulations and legalism. And when they find the grace of God, they just go to the extreme, the opposite direction, to where nobody's going to tell them what to do. And so I get criticism from both sides on this. The people who are rebellious and nobody's going to tell me, I'm not going to sit here and obey somebody else. And then I get criticism from the people who have found their liberty in God and have been enjoying the grace of God, and they think that I'm preaching legalism. But the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God, but His grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You can invalidate or make void or vain the grace of God if you don't labor. He says it wasn't in vain because I labored more abundantly than them all. So there are things that we have to do. Yesterday I used Elijah as an example. I want to turn over to 2nd chapter of James and use some things that the Apostle James said. This is the half-brother of Jesus that wrote this. And James was writing in chapter 2 about being obedient unto God. And he said this in James chapter 2 and in verse 17. It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now, again, this needs a little explanation because religion has come along and have taken scriptures like this and have emphasized one side to the point that it's become oppressive. And there are some people that will sit there and say, see, if you don't follow all of these rules and if you don't do this and this and this and this, God won't bless you. God won't answer your prayers. God's not going to do this. Let me say it again, that God does not respond to you. Your actions do not affect God positively or negatively. God, by grace, has provided salvation for you, and all you have to do is accept it. And once you get born again, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29. He's not going to take it back. He's not going to hate you. He's not going to punish you. He's not going to put sickness on you to teach you something. He's not going to fail to answer your prayers just so that you can stew in your own juice and learn that you have to obey God. God is not going to punish you and deal with you according to your performance. But does that mean that your performance is unnecessary? No, because faith without works is dead. You will not be able to fulfill God's will unless you act on your faith. You know, here's another way of saying this. You don't have true faith if it doesn't have corresponding actions. When it says faith without works, this isn't talking about a work of the law. There are scriptures that talk against a work of the law, but then there are other scriptures over in Thessalonians that talk about a work of faith. You could be doing the exact same thing. For instance, a person can be studying the Word and fasting and praying, but they could do that with the mindset that, God, I'm going to do these things, and now you must move in my life because look what I did. That's a work of the law. And that will actually separate you from the power of God, because God cannot, will not flow through your goodness and through your effort. But another person could fast and pray and study the Word and do it saying, Father, I am not doing this to make you do something. You've already provided everything for me, but my heart is insensitive towards you. I'm not as clean and as close to you as I want to be. And so I'm going to fast and pray and study the Word, not to improve your attitude towards me, but to improve my attitude towards you, to remove myself from the devil. Now, see, if you do it that way, then it's not a work of the law. It's a work of faith. And faith, if it doesn't have that kind of corresponding action, if it doesn't ever translate into action, it's not true faith. Saving faith, or let me say it this way, faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. It has to have action. If a person says, oh, I have faith, but then there's no action that corresponds to their faith, instead everything is against what they're saying, then you can interpret what they really believe by what their actions are. You know, if I said that we're in a building and this building is on fire and everybody's going to die if you don't get out of here quickly, you know, you could have a number of people sitting there and you might have some different reactions. Some people might faint. Some people might scream. Some people might panic and trample somebody else trying to get out of there. Somebody else might try and get a fire extinguisher and put the fire out. There could be varying actions. But there would be actions if you really believed it. If a person just sat there and said, I believe with all of my heart that Andrew's true and what he says is right, and we're going to die if we don't do something, and then they just sit there and don't do anything, I guarantee you something's wrong with that person. Their elevator doesn't reach the top floor. Something's not working right in their life. If you really believe that your life was at stake, you would act. And again, there's room for varying actions. We can't just say that every person has to do everything exactly the same way, but faith without works is dead. If you really believe something, you've got to act on it. And there are people, see, that say, oh, I believe that God is leading me, but then God tells you to do something, and if you don't follow it, if you don't obey what God told you to do, then that faith is dead. It isn't going to release the power of God. You aren't going to see God flow through you. God flows through faith. God uses faith, and you've got to have a faith that is active. So this is what he says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, a person can sit there and say all kinds of things, but look at their actions, and you can tell what they really believe. You know, before I leave that, let me just put a little P.S. here or a footnote. This could really help you, especially with politicians, and it's not limited to politicians. It could be the same thing with preachers. But anyway, people that are in the public eye and that are leaders, they get caught doing something and they say, oh, I'm sorry, and oh, I repent, and they'll say all of these things, and they'll say a lot. But look at their actions. Actions speak louder than words. And it's amazing to me how gullible people are, that people will stand up and they have groups of people around them that tell them what to say. And so they say sometimes the right things. But just take that with a grain of salt. Look at their actions, and I can guarantee you, you can tell what is truly in a person's heart by their actions. And I believe some people would sit there and criticize me and say, well, boy, you're being harsh on people, and you're supposed to be loving, and you're supposed to be forgiving. I can forgive you, And I'm not going to hold anything against you. You aren't going to rent space in my mind. I'm not going to sit here and think about you and have an offense. I do forgive and let go. But before I trust you, before I vote for you, before I let you put your hand in my wallet and try and get my stuff, I guarantee you I'm going to look at your actions. And there is nothing inconsistent with that and me forgiving you. I can forgive you, but trust is not something that you just give. Boy, if you think that it is, then you're being manipulated by somebody. You need to just recognize that a person can say they have faith. A person can say they've repented. A person can say nearly anything, but you look at their actions to find out what they really believe. And I tell you, that is a tried and true way of testing what is truly in a person's heart. In verse 19, it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." That has to be one of the most sarcastic statements in the entire Bible. Amen. You believe that there's one God? Oh, great. You hadn't done anything that the devil hasn't done. And you know that the devil's not born again. The devil knows that God exists. The devil's whole life is built around the fact that God is a reality, but everything in his life is against God. It's not submitted to God. It's in rebellion to God. Just saying that you believe that there's a God doesn't make you any better than the devil. Doesn't make you any different than the devil. You have to believe to the degree that it changes your actions. And again, I want to emphasize that religion has come out and said, "Oh, I agree with that 100%. And so therefore, if you don't pile your hair up to a certain length, and if you wear any gold jewelry, or if you wear any makeup, or if you, you know," and they have all of these rules. There's actually a Bible college that if men don't wear sleeves down to their wrist, then that's ungodly. Or if you wear a red or a purple type of shirt, that's the color of the beast. They have a little rod that's 6 inches on a stick, and between boys and girls, you run up and stick it, and if that touches both of them at the same time, they get a demerit because that's too close. You know what? That is not what this is talking about. There does need to be corresponding actions, but you need to have a little bit of grace and understanding that different people may respond differently. Everybody's not going to follow your guidelines. And anything that's beyond Scripture, we need to be super cautious about imposing restrictions on them. But the principle is that if a person says they believe, there has to be some corresponding action. There has to be some obedience in their life, or the truth is that they don't believe. They may not be mature yet. They may not be doing it all perfectly, but you could see movement in that direction. You could see them moving towards God. And anybody who claims to have all of these things and claims that they're believing God and yet isn't obeying God, you're deceiving yourself. You might deceive a few other people with you, but I guarantee you, you aren't deceiving God. It's just not true faith. It says, "So you believe that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" This is the second time it says it in this same chapter. If you don't obey, if there isn't any corresponding action, then you have not truly believed God. And that's just the way that it is. There's no ifs, ands, or but. There's no debating it. It's just, if God has told you to do something, there has to be some degree of obedience. And again, I can testify to this personally that, you know, I've been walking with the Lord now for 53 years. I've been born again 53 years, and 43 years of that, I have been seeking God and renewing my mind and doing everything. And when I first started stepping out and believing God, they were baby steps. And there was times that, man, I was obeying, but I was fearful. I didn't have the same degree of confidence and boldness that I do now. I'm taking bigger steps now. I can say that I've matured. I wasn't as obedient as a long time ago as I am now. I can see a growth in it, but I'm saying that there was still the same principle. There was obedience. There was a response. There was an action to God. And I think that when we evaluate other people, you need to recognize that maybe people aren't doing it perfectly. Maybe they are immature. Maybe there is fear in their life. Maybe they've got baggage that has caused them to stumble a little bit. So you need to be careful and not be judgmental and condemning with other people. But at the same time, a person who says that this is what they believe and this is what God has told them to do, and yet their life is going the other direction and there's no movement in that direction, it's not God. You are not going to fulfill God's will unless you start obeying and following what God told you to do. You know, I've been saying this for 4 days on our program. Really, you could boil everything I've down to just, if God told you to do it, do it. You know, Jesus, Mother Mary, at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2, tried to get Jesus to respond to the fact that they'd run out of wine. And he said, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My time's not yet come." And yet she knew that he would meet the need. And so she turned to those servants and she says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And of course, Jesus told them to take these water pots, fill them with water, and then go pour it out like it was wine. And by the time they got to the guest cups, it turned into wine, and it was a great miracle. But boy, what a great statement. Mary says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And you know what? You could boil the whole 4 days that I've been talking down into just whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. If you want to fulfill God's will, you can't fulfill God's will without obeying what he tells you to do. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." If you put a period right there and say, "He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think," period, that's not a true statement. Because it goes on to say, "according to the power that works in us." God has limited what he will do in this life to the fact that he has to flow through some person. He doesn't have to have a silver vessel, but he has to have a surrendered vessel. He has to have a person who will yield to him and obey him. And if we aren't letting his power work in us, if we aren't obeying him, then he cannot, he will not flow through us. God is not going to force himself through you. He's a gentleman. He is not going to take possession. He is not going to do things against your will. You have to cooperate with God. That is a really simple truth, but it's profound. If you want to fulfill God's will, you've got a part to play. You have to obey. Don't get condemned if you haven't done it perfectly. Don't get condemned if you're brand new and you feel like you are still tentative about it and stuff. God is a merciful, gracious God. But don't get complacent either. Recognize that you've got a part to play and that you have to obey God, and whatever he says to you, do it. And I've already made this point this week, but you need to just do what God tells you to do. There are people watching this program that God has given you more instruction than what you are acting on. You aren't doing it. You know, in my own life, I can truthfully say right now, to the best of my ability, without any, my conscience is bearing witness that everything God is speaking to me about, I am doing. I may not have fulfilled it. It may be in process. I may be praying about, "God, how do I do it?" But I can truthfully say that there isn't a thing that God has put in my heart that I am not pursuing full blast. I hadn't arrived, but I've left. And my conscience bears witness with that. And because of that, you know what? I'm seeing God's blessing on my life. I'm seeing God flow through me and people's lives are being changed. And yet I just know in my heart that there are many people watching this program that you have, God has spoken things to you. There are desires in your heart and you're letting your head get in the way. You're worried about what other people are going to say. How am I going to deal with this? And you can't say that you are in the process of obeying anything and everything that God has told you to do. There are some of you that know God has spoken something and you aren't doing it. I tell you what, I've a long time ago just decided that that's not the way I'm going to live. There's times that I felt impressed of God to go one way and I went a different direction because it just seemed like it had to happen. It's not that I was trying to rebel at God. I just thought, you know, God, I don't have the choice. I've got to do this because this is what other people expect, because I don't have the finances or whatever. And I've had disasters happen every time I've let something like that happen. And I've just reached a place to where, you know what, I just don't care if it upsets every devil in hell. I am going to do what God told me to do and let the chips fall where they may. I have people come to me all the time that say, God told me to do this, but, and then they start naming all of these other things that are happening. And I just stop them right there and I say, wait, you lost me the moment you said God told you to do something. I said, if God told you to do it, end of discussion. We don't even need to debate anything else. If you know God told you to do this, do it. And then they'll say, but what about my parents? What about my husband? What about my wife? What about my dogs? What about this? What? And they just, you know, it doesn't matter. If God told you to do it, just do it. Whatever He says unto you, do it. If you're going to fulfill God's will, you're going to have to get to this place to where you are not God. God is God, and you're His servant. And if He tells you to do something, you just do it. And maybe you need some encouragement before you do it, and so you go and get somebody to pray with you. Maybe you need some wisdom, and so you go and ask somebody else to help you. And maybe there's a lot of things, but you know what? You need to be moving in that direction. Do it. And maybe it's going to take longer than what you anticipated. That's, you know, we don't do everything perfectly. Maybe everything isn't going to come to pass in the exact timing. But I'm not saying I do everything exactly as quickly as God wants me to, but I can guarantee you I am in the process of doing what God has told me to do. You just do it. What part of do it do you not understand? Amen. And I know I'm speaking to millions of people. And there are some of you that are doing it and you're obeying God and you're saying, why are you beating this dead horse? Because the vast majority of people know more than what they're doing. And I'm telling you, you need to get out of that. If God has put something in your heart, do it. If you want to fulfill God's will, then obey. Learn to obey. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And conversely, if you are not willing and obedient, you won't eat the good of the land. Not because God's not going to feed you, but because Satan will come in and take that disobedience and use it to steal and to stop and hinder God's perfect will in your life. If you want to fulfill God's will, you're going to have to learn to obey. It is that simple. That's about as simple as I can possibly make it. You know, Martin Luther got set free by the grace of God. He had been under this terrible legalism of the Catholic Church, thinking that you had to do indulgences and other things. He got a revelation of the grace of God. And because of that, when he read these verses in James chapter 2, he couldn't reconcile them. And he actually wanted to take the book of James out of the Bible because it wasn't according to grace. And of course, God used Martin Luther. I'm not critical of him. But I'm just saying that, see, he saw one side to such a degree that he couldn't see the balance to it. But there is a perfect balance between these two. If you truly are trusting in the grace of God, you need to obey and follow that. Your obedience doesn't cause God to love you, but your disobedience could allow the devil to stop what God has planned for you. I'm out of time today, but I encourage you to listen and let our announcer give you some information about these products and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Fulfill God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD, as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order.
I'd like to remind you that today is our last day to offer you the first teaching in this new album that I have entitled How to Fulfill God's Will. The first teaching in this is entitled Learn to Obey. And today is our last day to offer that to you. We will continue to offer the entire album as well as this entire God's Will package that we've been advertising. But we offer each individual teaching one at a time, free of charge, to those who need it, free of charge, or sometimes people could give, but they won't give. Regardless what your motive is, my partners have enabled me to give these teachings away free. And so today's our last day to offer the first teaching in the set entitled Learn to Obey to you as a gift. So please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center camp meeting September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, October 3rd. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th, in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
There's more than just classroom activity at Caris Bible College. Students at CBC participate in hands-on ministry, like corresponding with prison inmates who want to learn more about relationship with God.
We're required to minister to other people, to basically give out what's been put in us.
And we just have many hungry prisoners that want to learn the Word of God.
It's a volunteer program, and I volunteer and write letters to prisoners.
It's really touched me because everyone needs to know what Christ has done for them and how that changes their life.
This ministry is changing lives every day.
Invest yourself in Caris Bible College today. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.